Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey, a journey that has taken us into this important idea. What do you do when you start to worry? We've outlined it as a four-part series. Last weekend, if you missed part one, we went back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. When you start to worry, look. And we heard Jesus encouraging us to look around us and put our anxieties into their larger perspective. Lord willing, in our last two portions of this study, we'll talk about when you start to worry, you need to cast and you need to trust. But Roger, word number two, when you start to worry, you need not only to look, you need to lift.
Absolutely. And that's going to be the emphasis of lifting up our burdens, our problems to God in prayer. And so we're going to be going to the book of Philippians in chapter 4 in just a moment. But we need to realize that the subject of worry is something that plagues almost all of us from time to time. And we recognize it, and we know what the Bible says about it, but it's still there. And it just gets us in so many different areas. We worry about the country and the direction it's going. We worry about the church. We worry about our family. And if that's not enough, you worry if you're going to have enough money when you retire, or you're going to run out. You worry if your children are going to be safe. And then when they become teenagers, it seems like the worry level even goes higher. Your kids start driving. Then they start driving on their own. And, boy, the parent, stays awake at night. The child's supposed to be home, and he's not. And all the fears go in his mind. And then the child starts dating, and there's more worries there. And so it just seems like it gets us all of our life. And this is something that, as we said in our first lesson, it can really chew away at our faith, and it can make us upset. And I think I like the word that's used a lot in the New Testament. That's the word anxious. And, just uneasy, not calm, not joyful. Those all are missing because of the spirit that is worried. So today we go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and verse 7 is where we're going to focus upon. There the text says, be anxious for nothing. Let's just stop there for a moment. Be anxious for nothing. Not just the big things, but the little things, the things that no one knows about, the things that only you know, all kinds of things. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so that's what we're going to look at today. And there's that idea of lifting things up to God in prayer. And what's interesting by looking at these two verses side by side is when we are anxious, what's missing is that peace in our life. When we are anxious, what's missing is that sense of calm in our life. And so putting these verses side by side, what the apostle's saying is, be anxious for nothing. Let the peace of God guard your hearts. And that middle word, that middle expression that connects those two is by praying to God.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to note right there in the middle of those two verses, it's okay. It's more than okay. It's perfectly normal to have requests in our hearts, to perhaps wish that things were different, to yearn for something to come about that we don't presently enjoy. And I think it's so valuable that the Spirit does not lead Paul to say, well, don't be anxious, just endure and trust that it's all going to be okay. We'll talk about trust before this series is done, but just as surely as he tells us not to do one thing, don't be anxious about anything, he also tells us to do something else. Let your requests be made known to God. Talk to him.
Well, I think there's a little phrase in there too that we gotta look at. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer," there's that lifting up, "and supplication with thanksgiving." Yeah. "Let your request be made known to God." By throwing in that little phrase, "with thanksgiving," that makes us realize that we have been blessed. And sometimes all we see is the problems, and we fail to see the blessings. And so as I'm praying to God, I realize, you know what? I've done this before, and God has gotten me through this before. And God is bigger than my problems. 1 John 4:4, "Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world." And so that little phrase, thanksgiving, sometimes gets our eyes off the problems and gets our eyes to heaven where they need to be.
Yeah. Three words there, like you've said, that are worth really chewing on here as we head into the weekend. Prayer, and that I think involves praising God, acknowledging who he is, reminding ourselves, even as we address him as the great I am, awesome, the one who has always been and is all powerful. Prayer, oftentimes, maybe we would associate that with praise. And we're taught to pray like that in a variety of different examples from the Bible. We don't just immediately come to God with, "I want, I want, I want, I need, I need, I need." Spend some time in prayer talking about his majesty. And then the second word after prayer is supplication. That's where I'm opening myself up to him, acknowledging my absolute desperate need for him. I need his intercession. I need his salvation. I need his guidance and his correction even. But I'm praying all of that. I'm making these requests known to God with a heart of thanksgiving.
And you know, we might ask, well, what good is that going to do? I mean, it's just kind of like self-help. I just kind of just get it off my chest, and here's my problems. I just kind of talk to the air, and then I feel better. No, because God is real, and God hears us. And we pray because God sees things that you can't. We live in this little spot in the world, and we can't see very far. God sees the entire world. We pray because God can do things that you and I can't. Doors can be shut to us, and doors mean nothing to God. God can do all kinds of things. And then thirdly, God can move people that you and I can't. It's a great passage in the book of Proverbs that talks about the heart of the king. It's like channels of water in God's hand. He can move it any way he wants. We can't really move the heart of a king. We may not even have any contact with a king. God does. And so why pray? Because something can happen. By God.
Yeah, Roger, we spent a lot of time last year talking about blurry vision and clear vision, seeing as God would have us to see. Do you think it is safe to say that one of the ways the adversary of our souls hinders our vision, closes our perspective, is nudging us in the direction of anxiety?
Absolutely. And, you know, We begin to think, okay, we're in this by ourselves. We begin to get scared. We begin to think, well, you know, God's not going to do anything, or my problem's greater than God. And little by little, he just chips and chips away at our faith. And to the point where we start having doubts. I don't even know why I should go to worship service because God doesn't love me. God doesn't care. God doesn't hear me. And those little doubts, those little fears are born because of worry. And again, to our Philippian passage, what's missing is that peace of God that can guard our hearts. and keep us where God wants us to be.
The opposite of this anxiety in Philippians 4, 6 is the peace of God in verse 7. And so we begin to put this together. When you start to worry, number one, look. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at how God governs and cares for the world around you. Number two, when you start to worry, lift. Lift your heart and your mind in prayer. And here is the promise of Philippians 4, verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Roger, what comes to mind when you think of a heart and a mind guarded by the peace of God in Christ Jesus?
It brings to our mind, in a culture in which the Bible was written, is the Roman soldiers. And how you got somebody in the middle, and the soldiers, maybe it's the emperor or something, and they've surrounded him, these soldiers have, and nothing can get through him. Nothing can penetrate. Nothing can get past these soldiers. And so it's like this peace of God surrounds our heart. And here comes all the troubles of the day. Here comes bad news at work. Here comes bad news from the TV. All kinds of bad news. But they can't get into my heart because God is guarding it.
Yeah, or you've been teaching us from Nehemiah, right? The importance of rebuilt walls, having gates that stand firm. This is the sort of picture. If you want to have a heart that is guarded from the darkness and pessimism and selfishness of the world, you've got to be proactive in having gates that manage what comes in and out of your mind and what has access to your heart, right? And when we surrender ourselves to anxiety, it is those gates and those walls around our hearts that often go down.
Jason, let me tell you a story. This happened years ago when I was preaching somewhere else. I was teaching a Bible class on the subject of prayer. And afterwards, a young man, probably in his early 30s, came up to me and kind of embarrassed. He said, "I have a question, but I was afraid to raise my hand and ask it out loud because I'm so ashamed of this." He said, "I'm a yard freak." He said, "My yard has to look like a golf course." He said, "I lay awake at night and just envisioning dandelions popping up." He says, "I can't sleep because of that." He said, "Is it wrong to pray to God about dandelions?" And I thought, of all things to ask me, or are you serious? And I looked at this young guy, and I could tell he was torn up about this. And I said, "Does it bother you?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Then bother heaven."
Yeah.
But then he said, "Well, it's such an insignificant thing when you think about the world picture of all that's going on." I said, "Well, then if it's too insignificant to pray about, don't let it bother you."
Yeah.
That's your choice. If it bothers you, take it to God. And if you think I shouldn't take it to God, then don't let it bother you.
Well said. Well said.
So, you know, some things with this, I think that's important for us to see as we kind of put a bow around all this and we think about this idea of taking our anxieties or worries to God in prayer. I don't have to know what happens. God does. I don't have to know about tomorrow. God's already there. I don't have to know. God does. And so what this does is it moves us out of the center of the universe, where I have to know everything about everybody. I have to work on everybody's life. I don't have to do that. God can do that. And what that does is that just makes the stress level go down. Interesting how worry and stress go hand in hand. The more you worry, the more stressed you are. The more stressed you are, the less you can sleep, the less you eat correctly, and they just go together. And we find ourselves like old Elijah back in the book of 1 Kings, just hiding in the cave and thinking that the world is coming down around him. And we think the worst thoughts, gloom and doom, when we're hiding in that cave. God's words to Elijah was to get out of that cave, go do something for him. And that's what we need to see. So we need to come out of our caves. We need to pray to God. These are things that bother me, then I need to bother God with those things.
Yeah, I like how just before these verses that been discussing, Paul has this punchy, straightforward statement, the Lord is at hand. And that ought to put things in perspective, right? I mean, if you are at home and you're worried about all sorts of things, dandelions in the yard and dishes in the sink, whatever it is, and you suddenly got a call, the governor of the state of Indiana, or the president of the United States, or the Queen of England is on her way to your house. She is at hand. Suddenly, perspective shifts, right? And that is the way we are encouraged to think, even on this Friday in mid-January. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot going on in our lives. There's a lot going on in our community. But the Lord is at hand. It makes me think of those two sisters, Mary and Martha, right? One was anxious and troubled about many things, but the other recognized that really there is only one thing that is necessary, and that's making sure I'm walking with Jesus.
You know, several years ago, there's a real catchy pop song, and it said, God is watching over us from a distance. And that song was real popular, but it was unbiblical, because the idea that God is so separate from us, he doesn't see what's going on. But what this expression, the Lord is near, he knows what your troubles are.
Yeah.
He knows what you're going through. He knows what you've been through. He knows what you have within you that you can overcome these things through his word and through his examples. And so it's not like when I pray to God, he has no idea what's going on in my life. You know, I've been called down to the principal's office and I've got to tell my story and he has no idea what's going on. God is near. And he's been with you through all of this. And that's why we should not be anxious, but take it to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah. When you start to worry, look. And we would encourage you to do that this weekend. Last episode, we talked about the importance of appreciating all of the blessings around you. We are all so richly blessed. But then also, when you start to worry, lift. Talk to God. Express your heart's desires, your requests, and trust that as you are praying to him, he hears, he knows, he is near. You are worth more than many sparrows, as Jesus reminded us last week in Matthew chapter 6. Roger, any closing thoughts?
Well, and again, as we kind of run through these verses, not only is he near, not only does he hear because you pray, but he is there to do something.
Yeah.
He's ready to give you the peace that he has.
We hope that this episode has helped you a little along those lines. Roger, I appreciate you thinking through that with me. We especially appreciate all of you listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. Maybe you have found this little mini-series helpful and you know someone else who could be helped by it. We would be so honored if you would take the time to share that with others who perhaps are grappling here at the beginning of 2021 with anxieties and fears. We hope that it is helping you to set your mind on things above. And even these last few minutes have given you a little more fuel for the journey. As we begin this weekend, provided by the God who hears and cares, we encourage you to always remember that when you are walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound and the best is yet to come.